This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Happy draft day to all who celebrate as we welcome you into this NFL draft edition of the Lombardi Line. This show is always presented by DraftKings. Michael Lombardi, Stormy Bonantoni with you. He's got Super Bowl rings. And Michael, I've got rings under my eyes from all of the Twitter that I've been trying to follow in the odds movement with all of this stuff going on. We're finally here.
Yeah, we're finally here. It is everyone who celebrates. This is the greatest day for all sports teams, you know, NFL fans, because there's such optimism in the air. I mean, I love you just showed a video of a Chief fan complaining about the Patrick Mahomes pick. I mean, the reaction, I can remember when, you know, I went to my first draft and the Jets picked somebody. And I mean, the place just went berserk booing. You know, how about Eagle fans when they booed Donovan McNabb and they didn't pick Ricky Williams? I mean, it's just, this is why it's such a great show, because people are so passionate about the game and they're so passionate and they think they have all the answers. They think they know the evaluations completely, right?
Of course. And we as fans do too, right?
Course,
because we know better than all of the people that have been doing this for decades sitting in those chairs. But I love that you mentioned that video. If you haven't seen this, go to the DraftKings like Instagram page and TikTok. They have a video of a Chiefs fan who did a live stream at the time when Patrick Mahomes was drafted. And he's like, the Chiefs can never get it right. This is why we're never going to win a Super Bowl in my lifetime. What can we do what the Bears did? Like, they got Mitch Trubisky, they're going to be fine. So who knows?
I mean, it's so good. I mean, but again, I think it's a great video to watch for all of us, because it shows the power of the narrative that comes from the worldwide leader, that comes from all these draft nicks that put out this. And if you don't follow what they want you to do, you know, then you're in trouble. Like John Schneider in Seattle could care less. He picks who he thinks is the best player. Sean Payton tonight, I believe, is going to pick who he thinks is the best player. I don't think he cares what Mel thinks or what Daniel Jeremiah or Michael Lombardi thinks. I think he's just going to pick it, and he should. But I think this narrative that gets generated by all these people without real knowledge, you know, one thing about the NFL is it's really a systematic understanding of the schemes to then understand how the player fits within the scheme. And if you don't understand the schemes and you don't understand all that's being asked of the player, it's hard to evaluate.
Well, and that's why you are the perfect person for this show and for this day specifically. You have sat in the chair. You have been the person that is making those decisions. You're also so dialed in with the people that are going to be making the decisions today. What are some of your feelings for today? What are new things that you've learned going into the round one?
Well, it's interesting, because I think what I've learned is New England is really in love with J.J. McCarthy and Drake May. They like both players, okay? Which would lend itself to trade down. The Giants have made a substantial offer. I think Bill Simmons reported this on Twitter. But from what I'm gathered by talking to people, they have made a substantial offer to get to New England at 3. They want Drake May. I wrote this on VSiN.com a month ago, their love affair for Drake May. And it centers on both Joe Shane, the general manager, and Brian Daboll, the head coach, their love affair in Laramie, Wyoming for Josh Allen. It started there, and they just feel like it's going to repeat itself. They saw it there. They see it here. Different players. And anybody who loved Josh Allen then will tell you the same. But here's the dilemma for the Patriots. If they go to 6, Monty Ossendorf is the happiest guy in America, because now whomever they take, if they take May at 3, Minnesota can come up to 4 with a bunch of picks. And then he has the Patriots trying to get to 4 to get McCarthy. So he's in the driver's seat. So New England can't trade to 6 and do that flop unless they know they can get back to 4 to guarantee themselves the quarterback, because 4 and 5 are picks for sale. They know that. And they know Arizona will move anywhere in the first round. They could easily move to 11 if the boatload is good. So that's the dilemma. That's why you're almost what we call the picks locked, because of the uncertainty of where you have to go. Another thing happened today, too, which I find very interesting, was Daniel Jeremiah's mock comes out. Now, one thing about I kind of kid about all these mock drafters. Daniel Jeremiah's been in the league. He's got a lot of contacts within the league. In his mock today, he had Bo Nix going to the Los Angeles Rams at 19. I truly believe the Broncos will pick Bo Nix at 12, or if they'll trade down. I thought they would trade down with Philly to go to 22. But that's one of these mock drafts that, having been in the room, can really make you ponder whether you should trade down or not.
So if you're Sean Payton, all of a sudden, if you thought you could feel comfortable trading back to get Bo Nix, maybe now you're not so sure.
When he sees the Rams going with Bo Nix, now he may know too that that's before he sees it, but when he knows Jeremiah's wired, he knows Jeremiah's tight with Les Snead, you can just start connecting dots, right? Mm-hmm. That's what your job is to connect dots, right? When a certain reporter reports something from Houston and you know that reporter's wired, then you trust that. And so it's not universal. And so when he sees that, he may double take and say, you know what, we'll just stay here and get it. Because if he goes to 22 and the Rams pick him at 19, then what was the value of trading down? He doesn't get his quarterback. This is the same dilemma I think New England's in at 3.
Yeah, and that is I think that's a great point with New England, because you've said it numerous times. They need to walk out of the first round with a quarterback.
Yeah, they are.
So whether it's at 3 or 4 or 6, like, they have to take one. So you have to do a trade that makes sense for you to be able to get back to the spot that you want, so you can still get one of those top tier players. I do want to, while we're talking about the Giants, bring up an interview that happened yesterday with Rich Eisen and JJ McCarthy, because Eisen on his show asked him before JJ McCarthy walked off of the set if he had any idea where he might be drafted. Take a listen.
But where are you going? Any idea?
I mean, I have somewhat of an idea. New York Giants, I've spent the most time with, you mm-hmm. know, they're a phenomenal staff. Love Coach Dable. Love, you know, Mr. Shane. Love Coach Tierney. Coach Kafka, mm-hmm. Chicago guy. Just being able to go in there, pretty much know, like, most of the install, because Coach Dable came from Alabama and Coach Gaddis came to Michigan from Alabama. So it's similar mm-hmm. formations, motions, plays, all that stuff. So being able to get that install in was been great. You know, I met with them twice. It's been amazing.
Now, Michael, to your point, the Patriots and Vikings are still co-favorites to land McCarthy at plus 150. The Giants are there at 4-1. But regardless of whether it's McCarthy or elsewhere, the Giants moving on from Daniel Jones seems like something that they're very interested in.
Yeah, I think Rich Eisen's going to be proven absolutely correct on his Super Bowl statement that he made about the Giants have had all they could have.
Buyer's remorse
on Daniel Jones. And we know this for a fact. The Giants have spent a lot of time on all the quarterbacks. So what J.J. McCarthy has said, I don't disagree with him that they put a lot of time, and that would indicate. But I'm sure Drake May would have the same feeling too. I'm sure that Daniels would have it. I'm sure Mike, they've spent a lot of time on quarterbacks. Atlanta has spent a lot of time on quarterbacks, but they've spent a lot of time on the Michael Pratts, the Spencer Rattlers, and the second level guys. So, you know, when you spend a lot of time, that doesn't mean you're taking the guy. So I could understand where McCarthy's coming from, but I think it's Drake May for the Giants. And the Giants want to start their rebuild with this. And it's Drake May for Minnesota, too. They love him. Now, Josh McCown coached him in high school. So there's that lineage that goes back to it. Can they get up to 4? That's going to be the question mark. Because if the Patriots take J.J. McCarthy at 3, let's say, and now 4 is wide open, Monty Osendorf's the happiest guy in America, because he's got Minnesota and New York competing. And John Mara, and I'm sure this is hard for John Mara, having paid Daniel Jones all the money they paid him, for him to say, okay, let's do it. Part of the package that they've offered New England is next year's one to move up those spots. See, this is where the trade chart is meaningless, because the trade chart would not lead you to believe they need to do all that. But because of the level of competition, you throw out the trade chart, especially in the top 10.
And they'll be paying Daniel Jones the $35 million in change in guaranteed money this coming year. If that does happen, the quarterback room in New York would be Daniel Jones, J.J. McCarthy, and Drew Luck, who has some incentives in his contract as well if he has playing time. Let's go through the odds here of those top selections, though. So Caleb Williams to go number one overall to the Bears via the Panthers, of course, minus 20,000. You can still get minus 10,000 elsewhere. And I saw Ben Fox tweet earlier today that somebody at BetMGM put a $10,000 bet down on Caleb Williams to go number one overall to win $100.
But there's a lot better ways to do it, right?
Do what you want to do. It's your money. Do what you want to do. That's just not how I would spend my flavor of the week if I could. Number two, Jaden Daniels. He has moved up from yesterday to today from minus 400 to minus 1,000 now to go number two overall to the Commanders. Drake May is a minus 240 favorite to be the number three pick, but J.J. McCarthy, a plus 190 price right now there. And then for number four, Marvin Harrison Jr. is still the odds-on favorite there, minus 250, but McCarthy plus 380 and Drake May plus 450.
Yeah, I literally believe, and again, it's early in the morning. It's early in the day here in Las Vegas. But, it, you know, I really believe 1, 2, 3, 4 will be the quarterbacks. Mm. I really believe that. And I believe 6 will go in the first round. I still believe that. And I just think, to me, the movement of going on. I mean, these teams like Minnesota, the Raiders, the Giants, and Denver Broncos, there's just too many teams that have needs. And you could say, well, you know, Bo Nix isn't worthy of a first-round pick. Well, let's go back to the Patrick Mahomes video that you watched, made me see. You know, that's because you've been conditioned to not believe this. It's a subliminal thing. Well, he's not worth it. He's not worthy. When if you look at the guys that coach quarterbacks, Sean McVay, Sean Payton, they might see something entirely different in this player that some fan sitting in Des Moines in his basement eating meatloaf sees, right? So that's where I think you have to kind of throw out all the stuff that you read about and just play it based on the experts.
Well, and I think a big part of, too, why we're conditioned to think the way that we are is because you see some reports like we've seen last year with Will Levis, where we think he's going to go top 3 and then he ends up being a second round pick, or Malik Willis, for example, who I think it was Mel Kiper even who had him in his top 10 in that draft. And then obviously he goes where he goes to Tennessee. So you never really know. And as a fan, you just get so worked up in some of these narratives that you buy into it and you believe it. By the way, some of those things you mentioned there in terms of quarterbacks are bettable. Over 4.5 quarterbacks is now juiced to -500. So you have to bet $500 to win 100. The under is +350. To have 6+ quarterbacks be drafted in the first round, +180. And the first 4 picks all to be the quarterback position, +150. Okay, we got to hit our first time out of the day, but we're just getting started here on the Lombardi Line. When we come back, Detroit was making noise yesterday, but not just for hosting the draft. We've got some contracts to discuss, plus Michael's thoughts on the 76ers tonight. No. Buckle up.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
In addition to the 2 hours of draft mania that you're getting here on the Lombardi Line, this is an all-day affair here at VSiN, because starting at 6 Eastern, VSiN primetime hosts Tim Murray, Jonathan Von Tobel, and special guests Mike Golic Sr. and Jr. are going to deep dive into all the draft prospects and give out their predictions. Stay locked in for a special edition of the GM Shuffle tonight as well at 8 Eastern, where our guy Michael Lombardi and Femi Abebefe are bringing you real-time analysis of the first-round picks as they happen. Michael giving thoughts on every single draft pick and trade in real time. Watch this special edition of the GM Shuffle on VSiN, DraftKings Network, or on VSiN's YouTube page. And we're capping off the night at 11 Eastern with VSiN tonight, where our guys are going to wrap up all of the first round action. Find your NFL draft betting insights as well at VSiN.com/draft. We've got it all covered right here on this draft day, Michael. But we also do. Like, you're going to be multitasking tonight, because in addition to the draft going on, you've got to keep tabs on your 76ers.
Oh, yeah, but that's going to be easy. I just, you know, I mean, everybody, I can't believe the line moved from what, 4.5 to 5.5?
Yes, sir.
I mean, there's just such optimism. I mean, has anybody watched the fourth quarter of the last two games?
But both games were close.
Oh, they were great.
They could have won.
They could have easily won both games. I mean, they should have won game two. And I think that's why the line's moving. And look, I think New York comes in with no pressure on them at all, right? They come in with no pressure on them to play well. And that's usually when the 76ers don't play well. You know, do I think they'll win tonight? Yeah, I do. Do I think they'll cover this number? I think it's a little bit off, but I do think they'll play. The problem is, can they play better in the fourth quarter? These offensive rebounds kill them. They can't rebound. Embiid had 8 rebounds in the first quarter, and he had 2 the rest of the game. And these second chance points just kill you, even if you don't shoot well. And look, let's face it, Stormy, Brunson hasn't played to the level we expected him to play. Now, part of that is because the Sixers have played good defense. But I do expect them to win tonight. I just would never bet them to cover that number.
Okay. Down 0-2 in the series, looking to bounce back at home tonight again. Yeah, 5.5-point favorites, total sitting 203. If they don't win, you wonder what happens to this team.
Well, if they don't win, well, look, Josh Harris says he runs a model organization. If they don't win, even the people that have loved the process, if they don't win tonight, they're bailing on the ship. Like, they're, you know, I saw Pablo Torre. I love that. I don't know Pablo, but I didn't know he was a 76er fan. I love that he is, right? But he was like, if they lose tonight, I'm done. The process is officially over. Thank God somebody besides me is finally going to acknowledge. I've been saying the process is over for 8 years. The process was, I watched it last night in awe. The Oklahoma City Thunder are the process. Great evaluations, smart trades. Presti's brilliant, does a wonderful job, understands how to build a team. That's the process. What happened in Philly was a bunch of nonsense and people that had no idea what they were doing in terms of picking players. None. I mean, Presti understands it. Like, if you said to me, this is what we're doing, I'm fully behind the Thunder. I'm fully behind the Thunder. I wasn't behind the process.
The process has never stopped processing.
Never.
It appears.
It's ongoing. It's the greatest thing. It's like if you get a brand, it's like if you get labeled something, it's like George Costanza. You show up early to work, even though there's 1,000 Chinese menus on your car, you're a hard worker. Yeah.
Well, all I was going to say is it was good for branding for a time when you really believed it. But boy,
I've never
not turned
it
out the way
because
you
I don't trust
would.
The people making the picks. Today, as we get back to the draft, today is a day that it takes talent to evaluate talent. And no one seems to want to understand that. Like, there is a special skill to evaluate talent. It comes with great knowledge of understanding what fits your scheme, what fits your what the profiles needed for each position. And you can't be a universal scout for everybody. Like, I couldn't walk into an organization tomorrow that I didn't know the coach really well and become an effective scout or the philosophical nature of that. And I think we miss that so much. Football and baseball are different sports. You can play third base for the Mets, get traded to the Yankees, and play in the nightcap, right? It's completely different. Football requires an understanding of the specifics for each position. And if you don't know those to detail, it's really hard to scout.
So there was something that we were talking about a little bit in the opening block I wanted to follow up on was Daniel Jeremiah's final mock draft that came out today. And he and a number of other mockers who are considered good at what they do and in the know with a lot of these different scouts and coaches and the like have put J.C. Latham as the pick at number 5 for the Los Angeles Chargers. And we've talked a lot about them going offensive line, believing what Jim Harbaugh's thoughts were when he made them known at the owners' meetings. J.C. Latham is now the new favorite in that market to go number 5 overall, leapfrogging Joe Alt, plus 240 the price now. For people out there, you think that's a reasonable bet?
I do. I've been hearing the same thing that Daniel's hearing. I've been hearing that it's going to be it is going to be J.C. Latham at 5. And look, again, part of understanding mock drafts is understanding the guy doing the mock. Okay, Joe Horitz, the new general manager of the Chargers, was in Baltimore. Been in Baltimore for a while. Daniel Jeremiah was in Baltimore at one time. There's a relationship there. And again, I'm not accusing anybody of leaking anything. Again, I'm not. But what I'm saying is there's a pattern of how people think. And if you know that pattern on how people think, you can get a pretty good idea on who's going to go where. And I think that when I saw that and I've heard it, then that's something that I'm going to believe. I still don't believe he has the Tennessee Titans taking an offensive tackle. I don't believe that.
Yeah.
I don't believe that because I think they're going to take a wide receiver because Brian Callahan believes you scout out, you build a team outside in. I don't, but that's what he does. The other team I think you have to really pay attention to on Jeremiah is the New York Jets. Why? Because Jeremiah and Joe Douglas are best friends. And
weren't they like best men at each other's weddings?
Exactly. Yeah. So they're not going to, you know, so he has Roman Adunze going to the Jets. Now, he could be doing his best friend a favor by putting a false number out there, but everybody has had Brock Bowers going there for a long time.
Or an offensive lineman,
or
right?
An offensive
That's what it seemed
lineman.
To be.
So now he comes up with Adunze there, which, you know, could that be the case? Sure, it could be the case, but, you know, it depends on what Aaron Rodgers thinks of Adunze as well. I think they need an offensive lineman badly, but maybe they just have Adunze graded so high they have to take him. And again, I don't know their board, and if they do that, then that's what they're going to go with. The Jet fans will be, you know, they'll be happy because Adunze is viewed as a number one receiver to go along with Garrett Wilson.
And Jets fans are also delusional in the thought process that we want toys, we want weapons, give Aaron Rodgers everything, we're going to have the most explosive offense ever. Well, it doesn't mean anything if your offensive line isn't protecting your most prized possession at quarterback.
Exactly. Unless you get the defense to count to 5 Mississippi, it's not going to matter.
100%. Yesterday, in addition to all of the draft coverage that's been going on in Detroit, we saw a couple of big dollar bill deals come through with the Lions for Amon-Ra St. Brown and Penei Sewell, which now leaves Jared Goff as the only player on Detroit's offseason extension list still without a deal. Adam Schefter reporting no deal is imminent and that while the Lions and Goff have spoken, they're not close on anything right now.
Yeah, see, I think, and this is really kind of interesting, and I think you have to read the tea leaves here. Look, I think Goff is a good player, but they hide Goff. They do a really good job of understanding Goff's strengths and weaknesses and they make sure that they don't let him go down that weakness pass too far. They know, for lack of a better way of understanding it, that the power of their success comes from the utilization of Goff, not from Goff being great. It's the same thing. The reason Sean McVay traded Goff is he got to the point where he knew he couldn't win a Super Bowl with him because he felt like it just wasn't all going to – I had to do too much to get there. And Ben Johnson has done and Dan Campbell have done a great job with Goff. But I think the reason they signed Sewell and Armon St. Brown before they signed Goff is the Lions get it. They get it. They know, unlike the Giants, they understand that they have to deal with Goff. And I think they'll feel like if that Goff went to the open market, I don't think you should be scared. Goff wants to go somewhere else. Somebody wants to pay him $60 million a year. God bless.
Yeah.
You know, and I think to me, that's they got Hayden Hooker, who maybe they like. See, they've set themselves up to really not have to overpay. And they know if they overpay for Goff, that he's not going to be able to meet that level of performance for them. And you're just going to – I know it's hard to find quarterbacks, but with Ben Johnson's done with Goff, I think this is why you saw them put the money in the players that they can count on. Again, I'm not killing Goff. Goff's a good player. But Goff isn't the reason they win. See, this is – football always comes down to this. Why did we win and why did we lose? And you could honestly say that in the 49er game with the 10-point lead, Goff didn't make the plays they needed to make to win the game.
Well, I think, too, like a lot of people on the surface would have thought because of the financials that of those three deals, you would have tried to do Jared Goff first and then see what you can do after that. But they're saying something without saying something.
Exactly.
By doing these two first.
Exactly. They're saying, look, we want Goff. We're not trying not to get Goff, but we need Goff at our number. Mm-hmm. We don't need Goff at his number.
Correct.
It's the same thing with Tua. That's my feeling on Tua. I'm not saying you shouldn't re-sign Tua, but are you going to pay Tua 50, 60 million? I mean, Lee Steinberg's going to want him Tua to be the highest paid quarterback in the league. Now, if you do that, that cuts into your other part of your team. And now you're down this Kirk Cousins train where Tua's eating and not passing the salt.
Yeah, and the we've talked a lot about the Miami Dolphins and how they, with the pieces that they are losing and the way that they have struggled to beat good teams, now you're investing all of this money in somebody and you need a lot of other stuff still.
Right. And look, let's be clear. They can't block anybody, so they run a scheme to help their offensive line, which has liability in it. See, and that's where I think fans don't understand that. They just see the results of the play, and so that means everybody's good. The hardest thing to do in any sport is to understand what's good and what's great. Everybody thinks it's great when it's really just, like Jared Goff is a good player, not a great player. And if you play him like a, if you pay him like a great player, you lose other players.
That music means we've got to step aside for a moment, but don't move that dial. When we come back, VSiN's own Mike Somich is locked and loaded with best bets for tonight's NFL draft. Plus, we're at an odds on how many quarterbacks are going to go in the first round. Expect a healthy debate there. We'll be right back on VSiN.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's draft day in the NFL, and VSiN.com is your one-stop shop for all of the draft betting resources you need. We've got mock drafts from our guys Matt Eumanns and Tim Murray, ideas on how to bet the NFL draft, how many quarterbacks are going to go in the first round, how many wide receivers, everything you need to know available right now at VSiN.com, as well as NBA, NHL postseason coverage, best bets from our show hosts and experts, betting splits, exclusive articles, everything you need, VSiN.com. And somebody who has articles up every single week on VSiN.com, one of our great hosts here at VSiN, Mike Somich, joins us now on the Progressive Guest Line, co-host of The Handle, weekends from noon to 3 Eastern. And Mike, rumor has it you are expecting chaos in tonight's NFL draft. Why?
I am expecting chaos. I feel like we're going to get a lot of the Game of Thrones gift, you know nothing, Jon Snow, as we see some of these mock drafts and play out with the actual draft going on. One of the things that made the NFL draft so fun to bet was that, you know, I don't have contacts inside organizations, but I do have a pretty good gambling network. So I will get information ahead of time. And 4 years ago, 3 years ago, I would know, I'll say two or three of the top 10 picks at like a 98% hit rate or 98% confidence, because 30 people inside these organizations would know who was going in those picks or if it's closer than what the betting market is saying. That number has dwindled down significantly over the last 2 years. Last year was the first year where it felt like 4 to 5 people inside these organizations knew. And when you have that few number of people who actually know what the pick's going to be, it's a lot easier to figure out who leaked it if something does come out. And you look back at the Travion Walker draft. That was one where the gambling circles knew Travion Walker was going number one. We saw his number plummet 2-3 days before the draft, and he ends up getting drafted number one at -400, -500 when he was 3-4 to 1 a couple days before. If you look at the Trey Lance situation, the gambling world knew he was going 3-4 hours before that draft, and you saw him go from plus money down to minus money aggressively right before the draft happens. There's none of that out there right now. And I assume if there's not as much out there in the gambling world, there's probably not as much out there in the mock draft world either. Is that there's just not as much known quantities today as what we were seeing a couple of years ago. And I think that's going to set it up for a lot of people to be very wrong tonight. I think that you see people like Daniel Jeremiah, who have zero trades in his top 10. You go to other drafters, they've got 4 or 5 in the top 10. So the variance that you are seeing, on top of the fact that there's also just so many mock drafts out there, you have that culture where, okay, well, I trust this guy. I'm going to slot in what he has at the 5 pick. I'm going to slot in what he has at the 10 pick. I think all of that is going to create a lot of chaos tonight at the draft because we really don't know nearly as much as we have in the past.
Well, I never looked at one mock, Mike, when I was in the league and said, this guy's got it, other than the great Will McDonough back in the early 80s when there was no mock drafts and he was the only one doing it for the Globe. I always looked at mock drafts based on the team and the reporter, like what did he know from the team? Certain Bob McGinn in Green Bay always knew what Green Bay was going to do. You know, John McClain in Houston always knew what the Oilers were going to do or the Texans. And so you kind of played that. Joel Buschbaum knew everything the Patriots would do. So you kind of knew those things and you pieced it together. Today, Not as much, but there's still some level of it. So when I look at Jeremiah's mock drafts, I look at what he has for the Jets, what he has for the Chargers, because he's worked with so many of these people, he kind of has an idea. But you still don't think, based on all the data that's come out, that there'll be over 4.5 quarterbacks just because of past analysis?
Well, I didn't think it this weekend. Now I sure it looks like Penix is going to go inside the first round. So I placed the bet when we saw it get steamed down. So it got high as +375 last week. I bet it at around +285 over the weekend. I wish I had cover bet it because, man, it got down to close to +150 in some places for under 4.5 quarterbacks to go in the first round. I am not confident that there is going to be under 4.5 quarterbacks like I was over the weekend. I feel like Penix is going to go. I'm still not sold on everything Bo Nix. I get why people say that Bo Nix is going to go, and there are so many quarterback needy teams. And there's kind of that theory that once the first four go, if that fifth goes, all of a sudden the sixth, you're going to see much more aggressive movement to try and go get him. We'll see what happens. I still tend to believe that people overrate quarterbacks in a lot of these drafts. We've seen it in the last couple of years where quarterbacks have fallen significantly farther than we expected. A lot of it's going to depend what happens at the top. And if it is quarterback, I would be shocked if 5 don't go in the first round. If we see 3 quarterbacks and then all of a sudden you see 3 wide receivers off the board, or you see wide receiver, tight end, wide receiver, offensive line, wide receiver, I think there starts to become a chance that fifth one doesn't come in the first round. But at the current number, I wouldn't bet either side.
Well, and you mentioned Penix. You say you're not sold on Nix yet. A team that he has been linked to a lot is the Denver Broncos, who you have a bet on the Broncos taking a corner with their first position, +350 is that price. Is that tied into your Terry and Arnold under as well? Do you think that it would be him?
I do think it would be him. Right now, you can still get it's interesting because I think Terry and Arnold is going to be the first cornerback off the board over Mitchell. You can bet Terry and Arnold +135 is first cornerback off the board still over on DraftKings. But I would rather bet Mitchell second cornerback off the board because I do believe they're going to be first and second. You get +155 on Mitchell versus +135 on Terry and Arnold to be the first cornerback. So I like second cornerback overall, Mitchell +155 in that slot. I do think Denver is needy at a lot of different positions. And again, this was bets I made over the weekend. I didn't have them coming up and getting Bo Nix or taking Bo Nix at that 12 slot. If anything, they would trade back and take him. If they trade back, it feels like cornerback is still a viable option for them. So I don't hate the price of +350. If I was going to attack this market now, though, I would take Mitchell's second cornerback overall +155.
You know, one of the things we hope to do tonight on the GM Shuffle Draft Podcast is kind of take the picks and parlay it into the over under territory of where DraftKings has their win total. Like I wrote a column this week about the Cowboys. I'd say bet the under now, you know, before the draft, where it might not prove to be as lucrative for the Cowboys to fill their needs, and that number may go down to 9. And so you also have that mindset too. You believe the Chargers, because of the draft or because of where they are and all the losses they've had in free agency, are under the 8.5. You're one of the few that are going that direction.
I don't I understand that Harbaugh is a huge upgraded head coach. The roster is still pretty devoid of talent. And if they end up taking J.C. Latham at number five, you're going to see the market be like, what are we doing? Because you could trade back and take him at 11 if you want to, even if you just take the 11 and 23 from the Vikings. And you don't even ask for anything more for that fifth pick. You still get Latham at 11 and then you can take someone else at 23. It feels like no matter what the Chargers do here, they're going to end up one of the losers in this draft in the public eye, or public opinion, or in the public eye. And because of that, when you look over this roster, yeah, you've got a very good head coach. You've got a very good quarterback. There's nothing else. And I don't see how they're going to get over that 8.5 win total mark. I think people are going to start honing into that more and more after this draft. They're still available under 8.5 plus 130. I love that one.
They are favored as of right now if they stay put at number five to take an offensive lineman. J.C. Latham, the new favorite in that spot at five. Other bets coming into tonight that are still available or that you feel particularly confident in, draft bets you really like?
I like Neighbors to go second wide receiver overall taken right now. Harrison, a huge favorite at number one. Neighbors is minus 275 at number two. Adunze is minus 500 at number three. To me, if Harrison's one and Adunze's three, which is what we are seeing in the market, then I have no idea why we're not minus 500 sitting there on Malik Neighbors going second wide receiver overall taken. So I'll take him at minus 275 to be the second wide receiver taken. I have some Brock Bowers 10. I don't love that as much as I did over the weekend. I think that you're seeing a lot of different movement in these mock drafts that are kind of making me second guess whether or not that's going to be where he is going to end up going. I still like Brian Thomas Jr. under 19.5 or under 18.5, depending on where you're getting it from a draft position perspective. I agree there's a clear 1, 2, and 3 in this wide receiver market. I think there's a pretty clear 4 as well. I think there is a gap between Brian Thomas Jr. and the 5th best wide receiver, depending on who you say that is, because it feels like people are saying 3 or 4 different people. I think it's very likely he ends up going 15 to the Colts, 17 to the Jags, somewhere in that range. I wouldn't even be shocked if he goes 17 to the 49ers and we see Ayuk go to the Jags for the 17th pick. So I think there's a lot of opportunity for Brian Thomas Jr. to go under that 19.5 draft position.
Yeah, but the only thing I would caution you there, Mike, there's a medical on Brian Thomas that people are concerned about, which a lot of times we don't know about that as fans. And so that's why sometimes guys get pushed down, like Latua, the defensive end for UCLA. He could, he's a top 10 pick. However, the medical is always going to be a little bit different on that. And, could he be the first defensive player taken? Yes. You still like Dallas Turner to be the first defensive player taken?
I do. I think that there's just so many landing spots for Dallas Turner. I think 8 at the Falcons if they don't trade out, 9 at the Bears if they end up taking the pick. Both need an edge. I think he makes sense in both of those spots. And we've seen Murphy, we've seen Latu, a couple guys pick up steam through here, but I still think Dallas Turner is the best defensive player in this draft. And because of the hype on the other players, we've seen his number come down as well to a bettable place. So I'll still take Dallas Turner as the first defensive player drafted in the market.
All right, Mike, we got 30 seconds. I got to get my fill. Not only did the Golden Knights go up 2-0 against the one seed on the road, feeling pretty good about that. But I know you're always locked and loaded with hockey picks. Anything you want to give out for tonight?
I like both of the teams up 2-0 in the game. So took Panthers took the Hurricanes inside 60 minutes, minus 105, took the Panthers minus 105 as well. But I like both home teams raced to 5 shots. Both of these teams down 0-2, headed into their home building, should start out the first 10 minutes very hot. Right now, they're both at pick'em numbers to be first to 5. So even though I don't think either wins the game, I think they get to 5 shots first.
In this instant gratification world, we love that. Thanks so much, Mike.
It.
Good luck.
Thanks.
Happy draft day.
Back at ya.
I'm not a hockey fan, but I definitely want to go to the Garden and watch the Rangers.
Have you been to a Golden Knights game?
No.
That's got to be next, too.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. All the way through the NBA Finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use our code VSIN. New customers that do bet $5 and can get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's the code VSIN, V-S-I-N, only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Disagree with these takes?
No way.
No way.
Or do you approve?
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. No doubt in my mind.
No diggity, no doubt.
It's time to ask Michael Lombardi, no way or no doubt.
Now, while I already know the answer to some of these, I think that we put these together just to get a rile out of Michael Lombardi sometimes. Okay, so let's start this thing off with some people, not going to say any names, trying to connect the dots between Jim Harbaugh and his infatuation with his former quarterback, J.J. McCarthy. The Chargers to take a quarterback in the draft has gained a lot of steam in the odds market. They went from 100-1 down to now 8-1. So no way or no doubt, Michael. Betting the Chargers to take a quarterback would be a St. Jude's play. What are we doing?
It is completely a St. Jude's play. Do not give away your money. It's ridiculous. I mean, here's what happens. And somebody who used to work at the Worldwide Leader, a prominent head coach in the NFL, once told me that the Worldwide Leader creates a story and then they promote it. This is a story that's been created. If it's a narrative, don't be a sucker. Don't fall for it. They're not going to draft it. There's too much money. Here's what I do know. Owners like their money. They're not billionaires because they give their money away. Sure. They're not billionaires because they have no problem just giving the money away. And they gave a lot of money to Justin Herbert. Like, all of a sudden, Jim's going to waltz in and say, well, I really like J.J. McCarthy, and forget about all the money they gave Herbert? I don't think so. Now, if they wanted to trade him, it's a different story. But you're not doing that after you paid him all this money and the cap implications. Like, this is coming from a man who was a general manager twice in the league. Twice.
I said we're not saying any names.
I'm just telling you, you fill in the blanks. Come on, stop with the story. It's ridiculous. You're and then the number moved on the app. I mean, it's ridiculous. You're falling into a trap. Don't do it.
Even ESPN's Adam Schefter said, get up on yesterday morning, a sucker is born every hour. While the Patriots' most glaring issue, no question about it, is at the quarterback position, there are a lot of holes on that roster. Elliott Wolf is fielding calls for the pick, but says he needs an unprecedented haul in order to move it.
Nothing
substantial enough yet, though. No way or no doubt, Michael, the Patriots should trade down from number 3 and stockpile picks.
No way, because, look, Robert Kraft wants a quarterback. He wants a quarterback, and he's going to come out of this draft with a quarterback. And unless Elliott can show him how he could get from 3 to 6 and then back to 4, there's no reason to do that. This is not a one-way trade he can make. It has to be a multi-layered trade. And you can't say yes to one team without getting a yes from the other team. You can line it up, you could have it already worked out, but it can't go through the transaction until you know you have the other deal. So for Elliott, he's got to work on the Giants, get that nailed down, then work with Monty, who he knows really well from their time together in New England, to see if he can secure that. If he can pull that off, then trade it down, mm-hmm. then do it. But if he can't do that, then there's no reason to, because then he's going to end up having to tell Jonathan, his boss, and Robert Kraft that he couldn't get a quarterback, and they're not going to want to hear it.
Which leads us to the next one, though. The Giants, as you reported earlier, have been trying to do whatever they can to get up to that number 3 pick. No way or no doubt, they should be pulling out all the stops to try to trade up and get Drake May.
No way. I just don't see it. Look, I don't see the player. I see potential. I don't see the player being Josh Allen. I just don't. It's like we tend to make these ridiculous comparisons all the time. This player's like that player. Well, they're nothing alike. They're really not. No two players are alike. It's why nobody can wrap their heads around why Bo Nix or Michael Penix isn't going in the first round. Well, Will Levis was supposed to go and he didn't go. If you study Will Levis's numbers and look at Bo Nix's numbers compared to their collegiate career, entirely different numbers. I mean, Bo Nix is way better collegiate player than Will Levis was. Way better. Will Levis went 33. Mm-hmm. Okay, so how does that make sense? It's the same thing here. Josh Allen's numbers at Little Wyoming are better than this kid's at ACC. And look, I just think there's a way downside. I believe this with my heart. You must say to yourself all the time, what must be true for this to be right? And there's a lot that needs to be true for Drake May, which would make me not want to trade for him.
Drake May, regardless of who's making the pick, is a minus 320 odds on favorite to go number 3 overall. J.J. McCarthy, the next shortest shot at plus 200. We talk about Bo Nix. The Denver Broncos have been linked to Bo Nix, and considering the haul it would take to trade up, they're sitting at 12. Could they potentially trade back and still get Bo Nix? No way or no doubt they should.
No doubt they should. I think they're scared too. Okay. I do. I would think today the Jeremiah report makes them a little worried. Now, they have more intel on this than I do. They know. One of the things I don't think we as fans realize is on everybody's board, you know, on everybody's draft book, you have a draft book where you know who they brought in for workout, who went to work out the player, what their team needs are, how they filled their team needs. It's an ongoing thing that you do all offseason. And I think they'll have a good idea on where Bo Nix is. Now, the Rams, we know Bo Nix's dad, Pat, and Les Snead, the general manager of the Los Angeles Rams, know each other from Auburn. They played together at Auburn. So there's that. We also know that Matt Stafford's 36 years old. And we also know that Matt Stafford is at the point in his career where he could get hurt at any moment. And unfortunately, a great career would have to go away. And they need their heir apparent. They do. They need somebody to come in and be the guy. And it's not Jimmy Garoppolo. Mm-hmm. And so if you're going to use a first round pick and you love Bo Nix, why not? They're 19th. And if Sean McVay loves Bo Nix, and I don't know if he does, but if he does, he fits what he wants to do. Penix actually fits better. But I could see no doubt to trade down. But would I trade down with Philly? I would be cognizant of the Rams. Okay. I would go to 6-17 if I could get something, but I would be cognizant of it.
All right. Have a little competition potentially. So let's say we do end up ultimately having six quarterbacks taken in the first round like we've discussed today. Who's to say who the star of that class is going to be? Do we get Joe Burrow or do we get Mitch Trubisky at the top of the draft? We don't know yet. No way or no doubt, Michael. Caleb Williams, the presumed number one overall selection, will not end up being the best quarterback from this class.
I would say no doubt, because here's what I'm worried about with Caleb. I'm worried about his connectivity to his team. And I think it's one of the most important things a quarterback has to have is that connectivity and the buy-ability by your teammates that you're going to do everything. And if you're aloof, which there's a lot of players from this generation that have this aloofness. What makes J.J. McCarthy kind of endearing? Not. Brock Purdy, he's not aloof. He's connected. You know, one of the things about Garoppolo that was appealing early in his career was he was able to connect to his teammates. It was one of the reasons he was successful in San Francisco. They bought into him. They believed him. They didn't believe Trey Lance. They believed him. So I think that's the only thing that keeps me from saying this kid, Caleb, plus he turns the ball over. And the one thing we do know, if you listen to anything he says, it's never his fault.
And listen, not to say that Baker Mayfield was being, you know, listed as a generational talent like Caleb Williams has talked about. But I always go back to that 2018 draft where you have Baker Mayfield, the number one pick, Sam Darnold, number three, Josh Allen, 7, Josh Rosen's 10, and Lamar Jackson, who ultimately is the most accomplished individual player of that group at 32.
Yeah, well, and Bill Polian called him a wide receiver. That's one of the reasons. I mean, like, look, seriously, you get labeled like that. He calls him a wide receiver, and that kills the kid. I watched every game the kid ever played. I said this before the draft. If I were the Browns, I would have traded down. I would have picked Nelson and Bradley Chubb. And I would have traded back into the first to get Lamar Jackson. To me, he was the best player in that draft. But nobody wanted to buy into it because they said he's a wide receiver. Nobody studied him. Now, has he been able to deliver in the passing game as well as I hoped he would? Not quite, because I think he needs to be a play-action pass quarterback. And he needs to be under center. And they're talking about doing more of that as they go forward.
Good position to be in, though, when you've got a two-time MVP that still has room for improvement. No way or no doubt, Michael, Malik Nabers is not a lock to be the second wide receiver taken.
He's not a lock to be, no doubt he's not a lock. He could be the first one taken. Mm.
See, I like this, how smooth. Smooth operator over here.
No doubt he could be the first one taken. There's a lot of people that have told me, have told Chris Sims, have told a lot of people in the league that Nabers has the best upside of anybody because of his vertical presence and the ability to be a true number one. Now, this does not mean Marvin Harrison isn't a good player. Whoever gets Marvin Harrison will enjoy his play, will like the player. Nabers might be special.
Marvin Harrison Jr. -700 to be the first non-quarterback off the board. Malik Nabers 7-1. Let me hit you with one more because we talked about the Titans earlier. No way or no doubt, the Titans to take a wide receiver with the first drafted player is very live. +260 is the price.
No doubt. No doubt. I think they're going to take a wide receiver. I think if Adunze happens to get to him or Nabers, they're taking him. I think they're going to do everything in their power to make Will Levis successful. Their whole idea and why Mike Vrabel's not the coach there anymore is because he didn't believe in Levis and they do.
O-line is still favored -320, but a great plus money price on the wide receiver if you think that's the way Brian Callahan is pushing to go. Hour one of the Lombardi Line officially in the books, but you're in luck. We have a whole nother hour coming up of all things NFL draft ahead, kicking things off when we come back with WWMD. What would Michael do if he was in the GM chair today? We'll be right back.